Hello and welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise, podcast number 94, on November 23rd, 2014, changing the world one ass at a time. So it's cooled off a little bit here, and I'm quite pleased about that. You people where it's really cold will laugh at that statement because I think it's around 65, but hey, that's cool enough for me to put on a jacket. So I have all kinds of stuff, once again, for you. I just love all of the things that people send in, write in, call in. And I'm going to start right off with, we heard from the truck driver again. Here we go. Hello, Ruby. Let me start by saying, hi, it's me, the truck driver. And I still love your podcast and work you do for us men. I have a question. Can you recommend a great toy for men to use? I drive a lot and was wondering if there was a toy I can wear or leave in for a long period of time. Please help me out. Thanks. Okay, so we are off into the world of butt plugs. There's a lot of different butt plugs, and what I have found for longer-term wear is the best plugs for longer-term wear have these things in common. They have a big difference between the width of the full diameter, like the largest width that you're going to put it in with, and then the neck. So there's a big difference between the width of the plug at its widest and the neck where your sphincter is going to close around it and hold it in. If the neck is too big, then it can either fall out or, worst case scenario, can actually get sucked up inside you if you're sitting there all relaxed, which would not be good at all. Now, you all know at this point in time, even though I'm going to reiterate that safe butt plugs have a wide base, a flared base, so that it cannot get lost inside your ass. Because once again, quoting my lovely friend Ashley Manta, sex educator, the vagina is a cul-de-sac, but the ass is a highway. So, don't use non-safe things. But the bigger the difference between the width at its widest and the neck makes it easier to keep in, makes it easier to have neither of those bad occurrences happen, either come out or go in. So, other considerations are the shape of the base of it. If you picture this, you got your butt cheeks sitting there, you got the furrow in between your butt cheeks, and if you have a round base on the end of that plug, it's eventually going to start rubbing a little bit on the sides of that furrow, right? And depending on how you're built, may rub more on some people, more on others. So one of the things you want to look for with a really good butt plug is there to be a, how do I describe this? It's like it should be long and narrow, like the butt plug, the Tantus Rider is perfect for that because it's almost got like a rectangle on the end of it. So it's wide enough to where it's never going to go inside you, but at the same time, it is long and narrow. That is the best way I can describe it. Long and narrow, which means that it's going to nestle perfectly in that little furrow between your ass cheeks. And that makes it infinitely more comfortable to wear for long term. So depending on the size you want, of course, depends on the plug you want. I mentioned the Rider because it's one of my favorites, partly because, of course, it's made of 100% platinum cured silicone. It's a Tantus toy. But also, I have a fondness for it because the spelling of the Rider plug is exactly the same as my last name, R-Y-D-E-R, so it's totally cool. I'll put a link on my Linkorama for that because we do sell that. And so that would be one of them. Now, some people think that long-term wear with something that's silicone, one of the challenges of long-term wear is that eventually the lube will kind of dry up. So if you have a really good quality silicone plug and you can use silicone lube on it, then the silicone lube will last longer than a water-based lube because after a while moving around and stuff, it'll start to pinch just a little bit. So, or it might get hairs caught if you tend to have a bit of hair around your ass, which most of us do, some more than others. So that's another consideration, which is why I would say the top of the line plug for long-term wear would definitely be a metal plug because that doesn't catch on your hairs and it is definitely just as easy to clean and sanitary and all those sorts of things as silicone. So the Enjoy plugs come in three sizes, actually four, my mistake. There's a small, medium, and large. The small I wouldn't recommend because it's only 1 inch, and goodness, that thing will slip right out of there if you've been pegged, so forget that. The next one up is the medium, and that's 1.25 inches, which in my opinion is still kind of small. Then we get to the large, which is 1.5 inches in diameter. That's a nice size to make sure that it stays in, because it's almost like you want a plug that's a little bit more than that you have to work at to get in, because that'll make it stay in better. One of the most the embarrassing things, that's the best word, is to be walking along and have it fall out, which, you know, that hasn't happened to me, but I've watched it happen to a guy I was with one time. You hear the clink on the floor and it's like, whoa, thank goodness we were privately somewhere, so it was really okay. But goodness sakes, when you have a really relaxed anal sphincter, that can happen. So what's the fourth size? The fourth size is really quite a challenge. It's called the 2.0. They don't even call it the extra large. They call it a 2.0. So between the large and the 2.0, depending on how much of a size king that you are, I would recommend one of those two. And you know, as far as long term, I always like to try and test things if I can and give firsthand information. And I know that I'm not a man, I don't have a prostate, but I do enjoy my butt plugs. And I happen to have a large. So when I looked at this question and I knew that I was going to do the podcast, I decided that I was going to have to do the podcast with the large in. Ha ha. So I laid down on my bed and I started to put this plug in. But then, I mean, you know, this is a perfect masturbation opportunity, right? So I really enjoyed that. Put the plug in about a quarter of the way through my masturbation session. Enjoyed a lovely orgasm. And now I am sitting here with the plug in, and it's actually quite comfortable. You can feel when you sit down the edge of the ring that's on the end, because see, that's one of the things about the Enjoy that works really well. It has that long and slender composition for the base. It has a ring on the base, but it has a shape that fits perfectly between your ass cheeks. It's awesome. Now, I do have to mention here that it really depends on how big your ass cheeks are. I have met men whose asses are so slender and non-existent that maybe it wouldn't be comfortable for them. But I am actually going to post a picture of my ass on my website so that you guys can see what mine looks like. And I'm even going to put my measurement there. So it's been 1 hour and 20 minutes since I put it in, and I've been researching my podcast. And so I will let you know at the end of the podcast what time it is and how I like it. Okay. So far, it's awesome. It's sort of like every once in a while I can feel it, you know, things throb down there a little bit. It's a reminder of my lady bits and my sexuality. I'm liking it. I should do this more often, put a plug in when I do my podcast. Goodness sakes. Okay, so those are the ones that I would recommend, and I'm going to have some links to those. And let's move on to the next question. We heard back from the guy in the last podcast, number 93, and this is the guy whose partner, his lady friend, had been abused, had some abuse in her past, and he was wondering if the act of pegging could kind of help that somewhat, to have control, etc., and he was also really wanting to hear from any of you listeners out there who have had a similar kind of experience that had abuse in your background and how you feel about pegging. And I'm also really curious if anyone has had that experience, if they'd write in. But here's what he wrote. Hey, I just listened to your podcast number 93, and thanks for including my story. I am curious to hear feedback on what others think of pegging in this situation. In a way, I think it has helped, as things have changed a bit. We have always had a great sex life, but she's always been hesitant and self-conscious about me going down on her. But she's been more open to that since she started pegging me. I asked her if it is because I've opened up and made myself more vulnerable, and she said, most definitely. I look forward to your next podcast and hearing some feedback on what other abused women that are into pegging think. As for your other questions about our growing toy collection, I'm not sure how to attach pictures. However, I did measure the first strap-on we bought, and it was only 6 inches long and 1 3/4 inch in girth, so it was pretty big, but so much shorter than the dildo she was using on me, which was actually 11 inches long and about 1 1/4 inches in diameter. I'm a pretty tall guy at 6'3", so I'm not sure if this is a large one to take since I was a virgin. We also picked up a double-ended vibrator, but so far she's only used it on me. She's not really into anal sex, so she doesn't want to put the other end inside herself while we have sex, but I think that would be a lot of fun. Okay, I'm glad you wrote in and clarified the measurements because we were all a little perplexed about that. So 1 3/4 inches in girth is a very sizable strap-on to start with. It's interesting because the girth is what challenges initially with a strap-on, but you're talking about 11 inches long and 1 1/4 inches in diameter. That almost sounds like a long dildo that is like a double-ended type of thing. But because 11 inches is hugely long. And the thing is with the diameter of 1 1/4 inches, you can take that no problem. But certainly you don't want to bottom out because you will eventually hit the end of your rectal canal and come up against Hirsch's sphincter, which is what keeps the excrement up in your colon and only periodically lets it into your rectal canal when it's time to take a shit, right? So the 11 inches, yeah, you're not going to be wanting to put that whole thing in because you can push past that sphincter, but you have to do it very slowly and very carefully. So the 1 3/4 inches is definitely a big beginner's toy. And as far as, really it doesn't relate that much to your size. So it's not like, you say you're a pretty tall guy at 6'3" long. That doesn't mean you're going to have a big ass. That doesn't mean you can take bigger toys just because you're a big guy. So much of that, the size of toys that you can take in terms of girth really depends on your ability to relax that part of your body. It's not about you're a big guy and so you can take bigger toys. And also people are built differently. Some people have rectal canals that are a little bit longer than others. All of us are a little different. Now about this double-ended vibrator. First of all, I want to caution you to make sure it's an anal-safe toy. If it doesn't have a flared base on it, it should, because that's the only thing you want to put in your ass, as we already covered already in this podcast. And make sure it's a safe material. The whole toxic toy thing. I'll put a link to the toxic toy article for everybody. And I'm curious as to what the double-ended vibrator is. Okay, moving right along. This was a comment that was left on my blog. Is there a resource to help in the correct sizing of the rodeo harnesses? I'm confused as to the hip measurement mapping into conventional sizing like United States size 10, etc. First of all, let me apologize for taking a while to respond. This kind of got lost in the shuffle, which is why I answered it on my blog, and I'm also putting it on the podcast. Basically, all you need to do is measure yourself and ignore the standard sizing, because they actually have some great tools on their website for sizing, and they get really specific on how to do it. You go by the waist measurements, and occasionally, depending on the style that you want, some of them have a note when you see the sizes and the description of the item to order one size up. But I've also seen for like the brief style, panty styles, that if you want a snug fit, you order the same size. And if you want a little bit more room, then order one size up. So it's pretty straightforward. And I am going to see if we can start carrying a bunch more of those different rodeo harnesses. I'm glad that you left this comment because I went and looked at their harnesses and they've really enlarged their selection. They have some pretty ones. So yeah, I'm going to check into that and see if we can offer those on our website. Okay, here is a comment on my review of the Blush Novelties Ergo Mini. And I thought y'all needed to hear this just in case you buy one of these things. As an aside, the Ergo Mini holds heat really well, especially useful with winter coming. I use it with the spare parts tomboy underwear style harness. I set it in hot water prior to play, then pull it out and pull it on and go to town. My hubby loved it. So that's a kind of a cool thing. You know, soak it in hot water ahead of time. That's a great idea. I thought I'd tell you guys that. And yes, the cool weather is here. Okay, let's see. Oh, this is something I just wanted to let you guys know. This is someone in my world. This is a young man I spoke to who told me this, and I just love the way he talked about it, so I wanted to share it with all of you. There's a lot of talk about how to talk to a woman and get her interested in pegging you. How to convince her to, if you will. So this young man, first of all, let me say that it's pretty well known phenomenon that the really, the guys who were in control all day long, especially like high level executives and stuff like that, they oftentimes love to let go of all that control in the bedroom. And with that wanting to let go of control often comes pegging. Right? So he took that situation, flipped it on its head, and basically said that he tells his girlfriends that it's statistically proven that I will end up having a higher income if you peg me, because it's a well-known fact that a large percentage of upper executives and CEOs want to give it all up in the bedroom and get fucked. I love that. It's so playful and fun, and I love how it's coming from the other direction. I don't even know how to say it. But anyway, I got a big laugh out of that. And apparently it is successful for him some of the time. So I thought I'd share that with you because we can all use more ideas on how to get more women interested in this. Okay, here's another letter. Yours is a very classy site. I just found it through a link someone posted on FetLife. Given your considerable interest and experience, what percentage of men are able to orgasm from pegging? I ask because it's only happened once for me, and my mistress and I would love for it to happen again. I love anal play for its own sake, and we enjoy pegging about once a month. See, I ask this question because I want to engage sexually with a female sadist, that's it, and I have played in the past. It seems that's all we have time for. She's even fisted me a few times. The only time I came, however, was from a pro-dom pegging me with an electrical butt plug. I don't think it was hitting my prostate. In fact, my prostate seems easily annoyed at being stimulated. I think my anal orgasm was truly anal. Anyway, do you know of other men who don't come from pegging, even though they, parentheses, we, enjoy it? Thanks. And let's see here. There's a lot of stuff to comment on in this. First of all, what percentage of men are able to orgasm from pegging? Purely a guess, purely. But from my observations, I do think that the G-spot and the prostate mirror each other pretty intensely. So in terms of women being able to orgasm from intercourse alone, that's only 30-some percent. I think it's around 30%. So I would guess that about 30% of men have the ability as well. But, you know, there's so many different ways to look at that because 30% of men might be able to do it really easily. Like women, 30% of women can orgasm through intercourse relatively easily. And of course, that's very subjective, that word easily. But I mean, you know, kind of without having to work up and train yourself and really work at it. But that's my point, is that I think that a much, much larger percentage of men can learn how. Now, the very best place to learn how to have any kind of prostate anal orgasm is the Aneros Forums. The Aneros Forums, and Aneros is sexual device that is used for solo play, that you put it inside you and you clench your sphincter and it massages your prostate. Well, there's a whole group of men over there on the forum talking about different kinds of prostate orgasms and how to achieve them. It's the most remarkable thing on the internet, because where else on the internet do you have an entire group of men talking to each other, encouraging each other, and supporting each other in basically what amounts to self-pleasuring? I mean, there is a thread there on pegging, and I do participate on that, but the vast majority of that forum board is all about different kinds of prostate orgasms and how to achieve them. And there's all kinds of guys there who are ready to give you all kinds of hints and things. So that's the best place to find out about that more. As far as there being a difference between a prostate orgasm and an anal orgasm, I do not believe there is. So it's kind of interesting the way that you phrase that, because you mentioned your anal orgasm was truly anal. No, I think they're pretty much all prostate, as far as I know anyway. I do actually have experience speaking with a man who had prostate cancer and had his prostate removed. He said that he and his wife continued pegging after that, and it was a lovely sensation. He still got about 60% of the sensation that he had before, but certainly it wasn't as intense. So I think there's, you know, pleasure nerves in there and everything, and nerve tissue that is pleasure-oriented in there, but I don't think that there are different kinds of, like, anal orgasm and prostate orgasm. There are certainly different kinds of prostate orgasm, and the guys over at the Eneros Forum are the ones that are the experts on that. They will tell you about non-ejaculatory orgasms. Dry orgasms is another word for it. And there's ones where you just lay there and feel waves of pleasure coming over your body. So yeah, take a visit over there. It's pretty awesome. And if you want to get into Eneros, I'll leave the link in the Linkorama for that as well, because those devices are absolutely amazing. And the bonus is, of course, is that it's incredibly good for prostate health. So getting back to your comments here, you do mention that you have what sounds like a very sensitive prostate, and it's easily annoyed at being stimulated. There are different levels of stimulation. Picture this: you have a tunnel, that's your rectal canal, okay? And then on one wall of it is your prostate. So depending on the angle of the toy you're using, or finger, or dildo, or whatever it is you're putting up your ass, you can increase or decrease the intensity of the stimulation. So what you're going to want to do is side swipe it gently. So rather than using a curved dildo, you're going to want to use a straight one. Rather than using something with ridges on it, you're going to want to use a smooth one. And if your partner has fingers in there, it just is going to be much, much better to be very, very gentle and see if you still have the sensation of being annoyed. The other thing I would recommend is to not just keep at it. No matter what kind of stimulation you are giving yourself or your partner's giving you, do a little bit of it and wait. And then do a little bit of it and wait. That waiting builds up anticipation, gives that part of your body a little bit of a rest in case it's too sensitive. And in that manner, you can kind of slowly ramp up to, hopefully, a prostate orgasm. Okay, now I want to talk about what things other readers and listeners have told me works to encourage a prostate orgasm. One is absolutely abstinence, so no orgasms. Because then, as you know, the prostatic fluid gets in your prostate and fills up, and you feel a pressure. That's what happens with guys. That's how you guys work. So it gets a little more sensitive that way, and men have said that it's much easier for them to reach a prostate orgasm if they have abstained for quite a while. There's also men who say that edging helps them. So almost bringing yourself to orgasm and then not quite getting there during that period of abstinence. And I know that during that period of abstinence. And I know that some men are more not able to do this, but it's more it's not incredibly uncomfortable and drive them crazy if they do this. There are some men who that seems to be what it's like, is, you know, okay, it's enough to be abstinent because I usually jerk off 3 or 4 times a day. And if I don't, then I kind of have blue balls. So to edge on top of that is fucking nuts. So there's a whole spectrum there, and you kind of have to judge where you are in your own comfort level. Because no blue balls, that's not good. On the other hand, abstinence, yes, will definitely create a lot more sensitivity there. Another thing that has encouraged hands-free orgasms or prostate orgasms is actually wearing a butt plug during the time that you're abstaining. So I don't think I'd recommend all three, abstaining, wearing a butt plug, and edging. But hey, if you want to do like the, what do you call it? The Iron Man of abstinence, butt plug, and edging before you try and reach your orgasm, prostate orgasm, who knows? It might be the magic formula for you. Another factor seems to be simple length of time of stimulation. So if you're getting pegged a long time, if you're playing with yourself a long time, like one guy way back in podcast number 49 said it was about 30 minutes of getting pegged, which is a long time. But once you get to that point, you know, I think that parts of your body finally relax and you finally let go, because prostate orgasms, from a lot of things I understand, are very much like orgasms that women have, G-spot orgasms, and that's all about relaxing. So perhaps the length of time is what finally allows all that to let go, and then it happens. Yeah, and you know, I've been looking through my podcasts and my notes. I like to make a short list, because that's what I really want to give you right now, is a short list for the different ways to encourage prostate orgasms and hands-free orgasms from prostate stimulation and pegging. And I know that there's one or two more, but I can't remember them. I know that if you press down right above a man's pubic bone, that sometimes intensifies everything you're doing. In fact, if you're giving a guy a blowjob and you press down there, or if you're doing G-spot stimulation and you press down on a woman's abdomen right above so it's kind of like her, it's right above the pubic bone. That's called the mons something or other. Ah, the mons pubis. So if you press down a little bit there while you're doing G-spot stimulation, it totally intensifies everything, and it's just wild. So the same thing could apply as well for trying to reach a prostate orgasm. The most key thing, of course, is maintaining the hands off and not touching your cock. So I invite all you gentlemen out there to write in quick notes to me and tell me your short list of what helps you get there. Because I want to put a document together for the guys who are interested. You know, all the guys are interested in this, obviously. It's something that they would love to experience. So if I can have that all in one place, that would be awesome. Okay. And you know, also in this comment, you mentioned an electrical butt plug. If it truly is an electrical one, that's a different sort of stimulation. Like electrical play, violet wand type of stuff. That's very difficult. That's very different than vibrating. And I'm not sure which you mean, because if it is truly has a slight amount of electricity going through it, and it has a violet wand attachment, then that's completely different. That's wild. And I haven't really talked to very many men who have had that experience. In fact, I've heard of it, but I haven't talked to any in terms of what did it feel like, what did you think, what did you like. And I haven't heard of that practice done very often, but goodness knows people do all kinds of things with violet wand. So if anybody's had that experience, I'd be interested to hear from them as well. And if that's what you meant, please write back and let me know what that was like. Okay. So also know, after all of this discussion, that there, even on Aneros forums, there are a number of men who don't come from pegging, who don't come from even by themselves solo play, the Aneros devices, fucking themselves with a dildo, just from the prostate stimulation, that it's always connected with either penile stimulation at the same time, or it just feels so incredibly good that they love having it done. And then afterwards, they'll jerk off because they can't really get it up while it's happening. See, there's a wide variety of sexual response out there. So although it's great, it's fun to put the list together, the short list, and to try and attain that, I encourage you to not be real goal-oriented. I encourage you to enjoy what's happening and just work with what you got. And perhaps the relaxation of accepting all that will get you there. Who knows? But rather than thinking and trying and trying and trying, you may have more enjoyment just doing and not thinking about, oh my God, I really want to do this. Okay, another letter. Hi, Ruby. I want to say thank you for putting this together and clarifying so many misconceptions. Oh, I should have told you, this is a comment that was left on my No, He's Not Gay article that I wrote. And he goes on to say, as a straight male who really likes ass play, it's been really difficult to break apart the negative associations and self-criticism about being gay that I give myself just because I like to have anal pleasure. And not that there's anything wrong with being gay. It still scares me. I've been afraid that liking anal stimulation, and man, orgasms are so much better, suddenly and unequivocally makes me gay. But gender preference versus anal pleasure, I can see, really does not have any bearing. Reading through this article and others helps clarify a lot of things for me and really reduces my fears. Thanks again, and please keep it coming. Oh, I love the double entendre there, because coming is what we all love, right? And I absolutely intend to keep the other part of that coming, which is that reassurance. Playing with your ass is a lovely thing. Women enjoy it, and men enjoy it too. Men have a prostate, so men enjoy it sometimes a whole lot more. And there's big reasons why you will. And it has nothing to do with your sexual preferences. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. It just means there's a spot in your ass that makes you feel abso-fucking-lutely incredible. And yes, combining prostate stimulation with penile stimulation can produce, in many men, orgasms that are described by men who do it as 10 times as powerful as a normal orgasm. So there is nothing about that that is gay. You know what? You know why the whole gay thing happens? It's because for some reason, the connection between gay men and anal sex, you know, anal play with men, is so incredibly strong that it just takes a lot to let go of that. Even pretty sexually evolved friends of mine, well, I don't know if they're sexually evolved, but let's just say they're completely non-judgmental, certainly don't see gay as being anything bad at all, but that's the very first assumption that they have, is any kind of anal play with a man makes him gay. And here's the wild part, and I've repeated this before and I'm going to keep saying it. They did a study at St. George University, something like that. I'll put the link for the Linkorama there for this study, and basically found out that between 34 and 36% of men have anal sex. That's it. Gay men. I'm sorry, I missed that really, really important part. Amongst gay men, only 34 to 36%. Now, the reason that it fluctuates between 34 and 36 is because they did ask the question, anal receptive or doing the fucking, or getting the fucking. So that's why it changes. But that's the whole point, is really, there's a whole lot of gays out there that never even have anal sex. So the assumption that if you like anal stimulation, you must be gay, is even more ridiculous. What it comes down to is that it's a part of your body that you love having stimulated. It brings you sexual thrills like you could never have imagined. So take a deep breath, enjoy it, let all those fears go. And everybody listening who just stumbled on this podcast for the very first time and they're checking this out, yeah, listen up. It's all about the area of your body that you enjoy having stimulated has absolutely no bearing on the gender you prefer to do the stimulating. In the words of a friend of mine, I prefer breasts with my anal stimulation. Yeah, I love that one. All right, let's keep it going here. Next letter. I want to thank you for your blog and podcast. It's been a wonderful resource along the journey my wife and I are on. My wife and I are both 50 years old, and next spring we will celebrate our 25th anniversary. We were both brought up in small towns in the upper Midwest, and because of cultural and religious reasons, had the idea that sex was shameful. Not because we were told that, but because it was never talked about, and I do mean never. Our sex life has been very vanilla. That doesn't mean we didn't enjoy sex. We have wonderful sex, and we have both been very happy with it. Mostly missionary and cowgirl positions with an occasional doggy-style fuck. My wife is quite orgasmic, and it usually isn't too difficult to get her off with my hands and or my tongue. Also, when fucking in the cowgirl position and she starts grinding, she usually has multiple orgasms. I also had fucked her ass a few times early in our marriage, but that ended after the birth of our second child, when my wife developed some fairly large and chronic hemorrhoids. The problem was, the only times we talked about sex was when life interrupted. Kids, travel for work, bouts of depression, times of high stress, etc. And we didn't have sex enough for one of us. We honestly never even thought about talking about sex. I don't remember what it was that started us thinking we should start talking about sex or which one of us brought up the subject, but about 4 months ago we started, hesitantly at first, talking about sex. And wow, what a difference just improving our communications and talking about our sex life has made. We are both almost always wanting each other all the time. We are regularly having sex 4 to 5 times per week. It's been probably 20 or 25 years since we have had sex this much. Many years ago, while giving me a blowjob, my wife started playing with my ass, and I just loved it. I kept wishing she would do it again. I didn't say anything because, as I said, we never talked about sex at all. I kept thinking about that experience in my mind. It started to go further. It eventually got to the point that I started wondering about pegging, although I didn't know it was called that at the time. I went through all of this guilt and wondering, was I weird? Did this mean I had gay tendencies? I eventually came to realize that I didn't want to explore this with anyone but my wife. But the guilt and shame continued. It did not stop me from fantasizing about it, though. Anyhow, one night about a month ago, after we had started our journey with talking about sex, one night we're talking after a wonderful session of sex. I asked her about her fantasies. I had no ulterior motives. I genuinely wanted to know what she wanted. Now, our previous mindset about talking about sex was so deeply ingrained that we honestly had never even thought much about sex. So my wife answered that she didn't know. This started a long conversation about possible ideas and what we thought about certain ideas. Most of this conversation was me asking her about possible things she might like. Suddenly, she asked me about my fantasies. I hesitated, and she started pushing me about whatever it was I was interested in trying. I took a deep breath, and finally, I told her about when she played with my ass and how I enjoyed it. I then confessed that I wanted to try anal play for me, and even possibly pegging. She hesitated a bit and said that she would be willing to try, but she wasn't so sure about the strap-on. I took her willingness as a green light and started researching anal play for men. Now, I drive a lot for work, and I regularly load my iPod with podcasts to listen to. When we were starting to become more open about sex, I found a new sex-positive podcast to listen to while driving. One of these podcasts was Sex Nurse Sandra podcast. There were two podcasts she had that helped me immensely. The first one was when she had Charlie Glickman on, and he talked about his book, The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. I immediately bought this book, and what an amazing book this is, full of information and encouragement in the realm of anal pleasure. The next one was the episode where Sandra had you, Ruby Ryder, on her podcast. This is how I found out about you and your website, also an amazing source of information and encouragement. I couldn't send my wife to your website as she is visually impaired and legally blind, though not totally blind, so I shared these two podcast episodes with her for her to listen to. These reassured her about some of her fears, but she was still unsure of the strap-on as the learning curve you spoke about has her nervous. Through all of this, we had been talking about the information I had learned, and we were both getting more interested. I also started reading Charlie Glickman's book to her. As I said, she is legally blind, and I've read many books to her over the years. I have found that reading a book out loud to her is better than both of us reading the same book at the same time individually. If I am reading it to her, we can immediately talk about anything that we find interesting or have questions about right when we read about it. If we were reading it separately, we would make a mental note to talk about it later and then probably forget about it. Reading this book in this manner is slow going, since it has led to many conversations, many of which end up with us talking about something completely different than what was read, but it is another step in improving communication. Anyhow, about a week ago, one night in bed, my wife suggested we start trying some anal play. She got on some gloves and got the lube. I got on all fours, and she started rubbing my ass and starting to warm me up. She slowly loosened me up and started to insert one finger. While she was doing this, she started rubbing my cock and balls with her other hand, which was also gloved and lubed. And what an amazing feeling that was. The smoothness of her gloved and lubed hand on my cock was amazing. I couldn't take this too long. While the sensations from my ass were very pleasurable and not uncomfortable at all, they were still new sensations that I had never experienced before, and I started to get overwhelmed. Last night, my wife brought up anal play again. This time we tried it with me on my back, with a couple of pillows under my pelvis. Again, an amazing experience. This time, I did not get overwhelmed. And when she got a finger in me and started feeling my prostate, the sensations were amazing. When I relaxed, she took out the dildo we had bought and lubed it up. This dildo is smooth silicone and is about 6 inches long and 1.1 inches in diameter. The dildo slid right in. As she said later, I took it like a man. The feelings were intense, and without realizing it, my hand went down and I started stroking my cock. My wife also later told me that she thought it was really hot when I did this. I don't know how long she worked that dildo in and out of me, but eventually she climbed on top of me with that dildo still deep in my ass. We fucked each other and she had two orgasms before I blew. What a night. The next day was a day I spent about 5 hours driving throughout the day. When I was sitting in my car, I had a very nice sensation from my ass as a result of the night before. I had a really good day. My wife also told me that she had a hard time concentrating all day as she kept thinking of the night before. While I haven't been pegged yet, I have no doubt now that it will eventually happen. She has some concern still about using a strap-on, but with the enjoyment we both have gotten out of our exploration so far, I'm sure that we will eventually be buying a harness and dildo for that purpose. Thank you, Ruby. The information I've learned from your website and podcast certainly has helped us on this journey, and I will be sure to give you updates as our experiences progress. Wow. Just wow. Thank you so much for writing in and telling this story. Your letter totally emphasizes and underlines the need for communication about sex in a relationship. I'm always really shocked and surprised and somewhat saddened to find out when I ask people, so do you, you know, if I'm, I have a woman friend and say I ask her, so do you guys talk about sex? Do you talk about what you do in bed? And all too often, the answer is no. And I'm, surprised, shocked, and a little saddened because, you know, that's the key to having a good sex life is communication. It truly, truly is. I'm fond of saying, if you can't talk about it, then you shouldn't be doing it. But unfortunately, for people who never talk about things in bed, like you, writer, who wrote in, that means you would never be doing anything, right? But it's so, so important to talk about things. And as much as I absolutely love and am delighted with your story and where you two are right now with all of this, I can't help but think what your sex life would have been like, how much better it could have been, perhaps, if you had talked about things, and how many more years you would have spent playing with your ass because you would have shared that information. So I really want to encourage everybody listening out there, open up your mouth and talk about having sex. I was once in the position of exactly that, never ever having talked about anything. And the fear of broaching that subject and talking about it for the first time can feel overwhelming. You are absolutely right. There is so much shame connected with this. And society throws all that on you so that when you're actually trying to open up your mouth and talk about it, it's the furthest thing from natural feeling. I remember opening up my mouth and words never came out. And there were times where I really intended to, I wanted to, and I just freaking couldn't get up the courage to do it. I couldn't. And I went from feeling like that to slowly but surely opening up my mouth once in a while, talking about sex, asking for what I wanted, to now. And, you know, this is my job, so yeah, I talk about it all day, and it's second nature. But I totally get that it's not that easy for most of you out there. But it's essential to deepening the intimacy in your relationship, to finding out more about each other, which is what deepens the intimacy, and to having a much better sex life. Because if you all of a sudden share those deeper layers, then you no longer are sitting there going, oh, I hope she's going to touch my ass this time when she gives me a blowjob. She knows that you love your ass played with when you get a blowjob. So there are great rewards to be had, evidenced by this letter. So, and I love your description about how you both totally had a good day the next day. Oh, isn't that the best when you have hot sex? And when all of a sudden walls come down and you know each other better, that's just the sweetness of that is just delicious. Okay, so let me talk to you a little bit about the next step. You didn't really ask that, but I'm just going to throw it right out there anyway, because you did mention that she seems to have some back off on actually putting a strap on. There could be a number of reasons for this. We can eliminate that she's freaked out about germs because she's already played with your ass and put the gloves on and you guys are fine with that. So she's not freaked out about the germs. Sometimes, though, women feel pretty bizarre. There's this block in strapping one on because it's just this weird switching of the gender roles and it freaks them out to actually strap one on. Many women are concerned about their femininity. They think if they strap one on, it's just going to feel too weird. It's going to look ridiculous. You're going to laugh at them. They're going to feel like they don't know what the hell they're doing. All of those things that come with doing something for the very first time, but also feelings that come from taking a part of what represents male anatomy, strapping it on, and kind of pretending like you have one. I really encourage you, and especially her, to have fun with that part of it. And laugh and have a great time and laugh at your mistakes, laugh at the difficulties you encounter, and just really enjoy it as opposed to taking it at all intensely seriously because it's a sexual exploration. It's fun. So with these things in mind, okay, and also what a lot of women don't know is that they're sitting there thinking, I'm going to look ridiculous. This is stupid, you know. What they don't know is that their husbands are totally, totally fantasizing about seeing them with a strap-on on. And the last thing they're ever going to do is laugh and make fun of or anything like that. They're probably going to cream in their jeans as soon as they see it because they've been fantasizing about it for so long, which it sounds like you, guy who wrote the letter in, have been doing. So reassure her in that sense. But another little subsection of that is there are a lot of harnesses out there, and some of them are more feminine than others. If femininity is something that she's concerned about, there are some beautiful harnesses out there that really can turn that right on its head. One of them is the spare parts. There's two of them, the Bella and the Sasha. And I can't remember which is which, but one of them has this beautiful little keyhole cutout for the butt crack in the back. It's gorgeous. It's not supposed to be functional. You're not supposed to be able to play with her ass through it, but it's really pretty. And it has garter attachments, okay? So that's one of them. And the other one, whether it's the Bella or the Sasha, I can't remember, has shirring, which in clothing speak is gathers, and there's a gather on both sides right at the waist So like at the shortest part of the panty, because it's shaped like a panty is what it is. And then there's also one line of gathers up the butt crack that makes it look so fucking sexy because it just totally enhances the roundness of the butt cheeks. That one also has garters. That's what makes them so sexy, is because you can put garters on there and just look amazing and really, really feminine. Again, I'll put links to those on my blog. So there's another suggestion is, you know, if she wants something feminine, make sure she gets something feminine. Then when you start looking at equipment together, since you've got this lovely communication happening, keep it going and make sure that you talk about all of the different choices and possibilities that you have. Because here's another one. You can have a realistic looking toy or a non-realistic looking toy. A realistic one might be something that turns her on. Or it might be something that freaks her out. Might be something that turns you on. Might be something that freaks you out. Talk about those things. And make sure you get something that really appeals to both of you. There's a lot of information on my website about what first-time equipment should resemble. Basically, should be around 6 inches long, nothing shorter, unless you are a very, very slender man with a non-existent butt. And about 1¼ inches in diameter for starters. I do encourage a flare-based dildo to start with, but the harness that you get, make sure it's compatible with doubles in case you think that that's something you might want to move up to at some point. But the doubles I do consider to be advanced, the double-ended ones. It's good to just play around with that newfound skill of fucking someone because it takes a while to learn, and she's going to probably have a ton of fun with it, and I'm sure you will. Obviously. The thing is that if you buy these toys, she doesn't have to put the harness on right away. As a matter of fact, what I recommend is that she use the toy that she will eventually put in the harness and do the exact same thing that she did with you just the other night and use it with her hand so that she gets a really good idea of where your prostate is, what kind of strokes you like, be it faster, slower, shorter, longer, all of those things, harder, softer, and that way she will know what she's trying to duplicate when she finally puts it into the strap-on and fucks you with it. Now, be aware that every once in a while there's a woman out there that is totally fine playing with your ass with the dildos, fucking you with them, giving a blowjob, putting her fingers in your ass, gloves or no gloves, but really would like nothing to do with strapping that baby on. Ideally, this will not happen with her, but if it does, you need to take a deep breath and thank your lucky stars you have a woman that's willing to fuck you in the ass with it with her hand. Because, you know, you take what you could get, kind of. Not likely that that's going to happen, but if it does, respect it, okay? So let's see if there's any other things I wanted to comment on your lovely long letter. Oh, very funny that she said you took it like a man. She has a sense of humor. And you know, you do mention that you have the dildo that she used on you about 6 inches long and 1.1 inches in diameter. That's a perfectly fine one as long as it's got the flared base and it will fit in a harness. You know, that's a totally fine one to start with. All you need is the harness. So if that one does have a flared base, you've already got half of the equipment. And if it doesn't have a flared base, she shouldn't be using it in your ass because, as we spoke about in the beginning of the podcast, all anal safe toys have flared bases to them so they don't get lost inside you, preventing that embarrassing trip to the emergency room. And last but not least, I am actually going to post a link to the article I wrote about her fears about pegging. It sounds like you guys are way beyond that, but it might be some interesting reading for you just to kind of round out your perspective from her viewpoint, her possible viewpoint, and some of the hesitations that she might be having. So I'm going to put that up on the Linkorama as well. And let us know when she straps it on and goes for it, because I'd love to play the music for you. I always love playing the music for everybody who has their first time experience. Ah, one more thing before I close. It was really heartwarming to hear about how you read to her. It doesn't make any difference if anybody has a sight problem or not. One of the most lovely and sweet, intimate, but delightful things to share is reading to each other, because you do have that opportunity to discuss things as you come upon them. And it's just a really sweet shared time together. The relationships I've had in my life where we read to each other have been really special. And I definitely hope to incorporate that in my next one. So that just warmed my heart when I hear that you did that for her. And that's something that you two share, because it was just, yeah, that's really, really awesome. So don't forget, everybody, there's going to be a picture of my ass on the blog for you to take a look at, because I wanted to give you an example of how big my butt cheeks are. Because this whole podcast, I have been wearing the Enjoy Large Plug. Now, I had to take a break and get myself off again. So that was twice, once when I put it in and once sort of three quarters of the way through the podcast. So I thought I'd confess that, relay that, throw that out there for those of you who might be interested. It's a very sexy thing to wear, and it really kind of gets me revved up. So I highly recommend it. It is now, 4 hours after I first put it in. I did reapply lube one time. I was sitting most of the time. I got up three different times for short periods of time to get drink and food, and it was quite comfortable. In fact, it was so comfortable that I had to go get off again. Just the twice, though. I don't mean three times. So there you have it. And let's see here. I think that's it. We're done for today. So I think we'll leave it here. Next podcast, I'm going to be trying out the Tantus Rider butt plug, and I will give you a comparison between silicone and metal, the Tantus Rider plug versus the Enjoy Large. So tune in next time to find out which the butt likes better.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Entice Me is creating a sex toy party community where people can come together and comfortably talk about sex, sex toys, and sexuality. They bring sassy and classy sex education directly to you through sex toy parties and share tips, techniques, sexy secrets at the parties to improve your sex life, but also improve your life both in and out of the bedroom. Because Entice Me believes that sex is a natural, vital part of life and should no longer be considered taboo. So if you're interested in becoming a sex toy party consultant, simply call 714-386-9684. So please keep calling me with your questions and your stories at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. I'm on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page. It's public. You can see everything on it. And obviously, on my blog, sexy pictures show up that don't ever make it to the podcast, like my ass. You can access this podcast via iTunes, and it can also be listened to through the different podcast engines available for iPhones as well as Android phones. Send all your questions and stories. Also, if you don't want to call in, to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right corner of every page on my blog. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And as always, happy pegging.